The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and University of Phoenix.
Welcome inside the PNC Center at Halas Hall with our guests from the University of Phoenix. We got a big action-packed hour here of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. Happy to have you along. And we are joined by the top dog of the Bears defense, outside linebacker Pennell McPhee. And you know why I'm calling you the top dog. That's your thing, right?
Yeah, somewhat, somewhat.
I think, to me, the most interesting part about you joining the Bears, I think there wasn't a lot of recognition, I think, by fans. They didn't really know who you were, because when you think about the Baltimore Ravens defense, you know, early on in your career, Ray Lewis, then you go to Terrell Suggs, and Pernell McPhee wasn't a name that you heard a lot of. But there's a guy here in Chicago, the new defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio. He knew you. He was an assistant when Rex Ryan was the defensive coordinator early on in your career. And did you establish a relationship with Vic back then that you think helped you become a Bear?
I think they came to Baltimore last year, preseason game two, and we practiced against them for a week. And I kind of destroyed their offense. So, you know, he probably saw that and seen that I was an upcoming free agent. And, you know, he talked to our general manager, of course, Ryan Pace. You know, that was good. He was the reason why I'm also here, and I think they made a good deal.
You know, I would just backtrack a little bit, because when you came out of Mississippi State, you were a fifth-round draft choice, and I was a fourth-round draft choice, and I thought I should have been drafted higher. Did you feel that way about yourself? But were you glad, because Ozzie is such a good evaluator of talent, you look at his track record, that you had to be happy that he recognized your talent, but were you disappointed that they waited for fifth? Why was it fifth rounder for you?
I can't answer that. I guess a lot of teams ain't see me as a 3-4 defensive end and a 3-4 outside linebacker and a 4-3 defensive end. But, you know, it was a blessing, you know, going to Baltimore, because I got put around such great group of guys, you know, that was veterans, and they was humble, and they know how to win, and they know how to, you know, train their body, their mind, their soul, and it just carried on to me.
Were you considered a tweener, though? Like, they don't know if you're a defensive end or a linebacker, and sometimes that can interrupt the draft process?
Yeah, pretty much, because I ran like a 4.9 in the 40 at the combine, so that's pretty ugly, you know. But I'm not that type of guy that go out and lift 500 pounds and squat 1,000 and run a 4.2. I mean, I'm just the one you just put on the field and just go make plays.
When the pads are on, he's not slow, though. I don't care about the 40 time. Quarterbacks know you're coming.
Yeah, they're going to feel my presence.
What did you learn in Baltimore that you didn't know that helped make you the player that you are today?
Just playing violent and training my eyes to, you know, to the game and learning the game and slowing down the game. It's a difference when guys get put out on the field and just going out there playing football. And then when you see guys who going out there really making plays, it's because they understand the game and the game slowed down to them. So it was a combination of a lot of things of, you know, play violent, play fast, and just knowing the game and knowing how to study the game. I think a lot of guys who I was surrounded by did a great job of teaching me and a lot of the young guys who I came in with, teaching us the game, how to play it.
You know, the game is kind of a small portion of it. And our first introduction to Pernell McPhee, the football player, was at full pad in training camp. And I remember sitting there watching the first day, and you were beating the crap out of the tight ends. And I even said something to Martellus, this is going to be a tough training camp with McPhee here. How do you bring the discipline of making sure you practice hard every day with you along the way? Or have you always been a practice player that, you know, will get something out of yourself?
Yes, I always been a practice player since high school. Like, I believe the harder I go in practice, the harder I go in the game. And, you know, when you go hard in practice, it make it easier on Sundays. Like, especially for me, like, when I go in practice and I dominate practice, I go in the game and dominate it, you know. And when I go in practice and be have lagging, you know, lagging around, it shows in the game. So, you know, my main focus every day, you know, in practice is like just go hard, go hard.
When you came here as a free agent, did you kind of feel that you had to bring some of these guys with you by the way you practiced every day, or did you want to have an impact as a free agent on this defense when you first got here?
I mean, I really was coming to try to take over, like straight up.
Very good.
I mean, that was my mindset. I'm coming to take over.
Why here though? Because I mean, there were other teams that were looking at you. What was it about this situation that made it appealing to you to be the kind of leader? Because I don't think a lot of people know. So the Bears beat the Raiders, right? They get their first win of the season. The locker room is jubilant. Everyone's excited. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously you're happy, mm-hmm. but the first thing that you kept pointing out when you were talking to the media, and I think probably before that when you were talking to the rest of the guys in the locker room, you made a big point about how enjoy this. This is great, but beginning Monday, you got to bring it. You got to bring it even harder in practice because you guys treat practices like games.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you can't dwell on a win too long or a loss. You got to look at the next pitch. And right now, in my mindset, I'm on a mission, and I feel like everybody else should be on a mission. So either it was the first win or not, I just think that, hey, the reality is we 1-3. We need to go try to win the next game and be 2-3. And you don't just keep looking forward to the next game and the next game because you only good as your last game.
And in terms of coming to Chicago, what was it about this situation that you felt not only you could come in here and be a leader, but be an effective one where you could help raise the level of play and take this team to the next level?
I just think my humbleness. I mean, in the way I play with, you know, I play with emotion. You know, I'm a very emotional guy when I'm on the field. And you know, it came with a combination of talking to God, and he pointed me to, you know, Chicago and was like, yo, there's some young guys there and there's some guys who could play there, you know, you could go lead them, and that's what I'm trying to do right now.
Do you know Vic Fangio's footprint at the linebacker position about his history and stuff? Are you familiar with some of the great teams of linebackers he played with? And was the performance of the San Francisco linebackers an influence on you because you know what you could get out of yourself if you were playing that similar style of football?
Oh yeah, most definitely. He coached some great outside linebackers plus inside linebackers, you know. So just watching Alden and Brooks over the years, it's like I could go and dominate in his defense, and it was similar to Baltimore defense too.
You know, that's the thing about it is even when you go back and you look at the Ricky Jackson and Pat Swilling era in New Orleans and their greatness, you know, they weren't the customary built linebackers like you are accustomed to. Swilling had quickness that was almost unstoppable, and Ricky Jackson was a more big physical style of player. And I think that's what we've seen out of you is we're not used to seeing 6'4", 275 or, you know, pound linebackers.
Yeah, shout out to Ricky, man. You're from Pahokee.
Yeah, there you go.
Same high school.
Yeah, his hometown in Florida.
We kind of similarly built it, like, I guess.
Yeah.
When we come back, we got to take our first time out here on Bears All Access. When we come back, I want to delve into your childhood and see how you became the man that you are today. Pernell McPhee is here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin in front of our friends from the University of Phoenix. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, covering the world of Bears football on and off the field with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 11:05 on Fox 32 Chicago or go to chicagobears.com/insidethebears. Back inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall, this is another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority with our guests from the University of Phoenix, Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, joined by one of the Bears captains, Pernell McPhee, and for those that don't know, came over from Baltimore. I mean, they know. They see what Pernell McPhee has been doing here in the early going of the season. But you grew up in Florida, and not the ritzy area of Florida, not down there in Miami or Tampa or even, you know, Gainesville or Jacksonville. It was not an easy childhood for you to get from there to where you are today.
Yeah, it was pretty rough. I mean, it was pretty rough, but, you know, I'm blessed. I'm in a situation right now where, you know, I ain't got to look back to them days.
But the reason I bring it up is 'cause they're kids listening right now. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when things feel hopeless, you know, you're an example of a guy who was probably in that situation and you got yourself out. Yeah. So what kind of advice would you give to someone listening who hears your story and, you know, life isn't great?
Yeah, I mean, especially as a teenager, man, you just got to put your faith in God and you got to really believe. And no matter when things go wrong, you just got to keep believing in God and trust that he'll show you a way out of the situation that you really don't want to be in. And I think that was my thing. I had big faith in God and I had all the respect for my grandma and I didn't want her to see me, you know, like the other guys was on the corner, on the streets, doing in jail or dead. So, you know, I believed in God and, you know, worked my butt off and look, and this is where I end up at.
You know, how did you get attracted to football and were you playing other sports as a kid growing up? Were you doing them all? Because, you know, it seems like when you're an offensive lineman, that's what you are for your whole life. But when you're an athlete, you get to do a little bit of everything.
I really ain't played number 1 year of high school football. So, you know, I kind of played 2 years of basketball, but, you know, it just, when you get tired of certain things in life, I mean, you try to choose another route. And early in my life, as a teenager, I was doing some things that I got tired of, and I was like, yo, let me try the other route. And the other route was sports. And when I got into sports, you know, like I said, just keeping faith and praying, you know, eventually I end up getting on the football field and doing what I do best, and that's go, you know, make plays. And this is where I'm at right now.
I find it fascinating that you started football late in your life. So did it come easy to you initially? Or was it something that you really had to work on?
You know what's crazy? My 11th grade year, I practiced the whole season without taking a snap in the game. And that's when I realized I really could play football. And I couldn't wait till the next year. And it just was my heart. Like, I think a lot of people got to understand, like, when you got a big heart and you ain't scared of anything, it don't matter how much talent you have or how fast or how strong you is. And when you got that heart and that willingness, I mean, you just go out there and just fight and compete. And that's what it's about when it's sports, fighting and compete.
Did you play anything on offense?
I play offensive tackle.
You attaboy. I knew that's why you're such a good outside linebacker.
Wait, why do you say that?
Well, no, I'm just because I'm an ex-offensive lineman. But I was thinking, I think you understand the position you're competing against after you play it a little bit. You understand the balance of it. You understand when you're susceptible to getting off balance and, you know, that's one of the unique things of Purnell is his ability to attack tight ends and tackles quickly to get to the quarterback.
Because I clearly think no matter how much you watch film, no matter how much you study, no matter how much you think this guy going to use this move, it's still a chess game.
Right.
It's you got to block me and I got to beat you.
But your success is based on your second move because you're going to have a confrontation against who's ever blocking you. And then what do you do from there? And I brought up earlier when Jarvis got the sack against Russell Wilson and you were rushing from the inside, it was because of your rush that you know, Russell Wilson was sacked by Jenkins. Yeah. But again, that's the teamwork of it all. Yeah. And that's, you know, that second move is what got you noticed by Russell Wilson to help get the sack over there.
Yeah, shout out to my boy Jinx, he's doing a great job right now. But yeah, that was part of it. And you know, hopefully we have many of them coming.
You know, we spoke to Jarvis Jenkins earlier in the week, and one of the things that he mentioned, because he was not this kind of player in Washington, he felt that in that defense he was restricted, didn't have the freedom to do some of the things that he can do in this defense, and he pointed out Vic Fangio with giving him that freedom. Can you explain to people who have not played the game what Vic Fangio does to get the most out of not just you, but anyone that plays in his defense?
I mean, it started in the classroom. I mean, he slowly teaches us the game and show us, like, you know, how the quarterback will be in the pocket or certain formation. And he teach guys who really don't understand the game those type of situations. And when they get in them type of situations, like, we knew how Russell scrambled because of how Vic showed us how he do it. So, like, he's a great teacher. And he just called up defense that just frustrate the whole offense, the quarterbacks and everything.
Was this your first interception?
Yeah, thank God.
I know. Well, no, that was my question. Is Vic going to put you in a position that you'll have that opportunity more, or are you more of a online threat, a pass rusher, or that type of deal, or are we going to see more? And you could have carried him into the end zone. That was the worst tackling by an offense.
I was trying to.
No, he just tried to jump on your shoulders, and I thought you were going to carry him to the end zone.
I was trying to, but I don't know. I talked to Coach about it, and I just think that whatever I have to do or whatever he feels for me to do, we're going to make it happen. I think he's going to do a great job of just making good game plans to put me in a situation to make plays. And that was one game plan he drew up that put me in the right place at the right time. It's crazy.
You know, but the running back saw you coming towards him. He knew that you were going to hit him right in the chest, and he took his eyes off of it. And that's when the ball bounced up, and you were on the spot.
Yeah, that's a blessing. I thank God for that. That was a blessing. It was fun, though.
It's addictive. Once you get one, you can't just stop with one pick.
No, I don't want no picks. I want sacks.
See, it's about punishing the quarterback.
It's about punishing.
I think that, I think it's harder than ever to get after the quarterback.
Oh, today in this offense, in this world today,
yeah,
like it's real hard. I mean, teams get smarter every day. You know, every second, they learn how to. You know, chips with the chip and everything. Like,
and
it's
that ball's
crazy.
Out. I mean,
it's
he's
out.
Got,
yeah, the quick
no
games.
One, right, no one drops back seven steps, five steps, and they wait like they used to. So, and yet sacks are just as important today as they were. I don't care if you were playing in the 1950s.
Yes.
They still matter.
Yes, I totally agree.
So now they got the officials in the offensive backfield, though. I think, you know, they're seeing offensive linemen holding a little bit clearer. So that's going to put a little bit more technique – pressure on offensive linemen that some guys aren't good at it, and then it's going to open up opportunities.
Yeah. So what does it take to be that great pass rusher today? Let's take a break. We'll come back and get Purnell's opinion on this. Purnell McPhee is our guest, the Bears outside linebacker. Bears All Access in front of our friends from the University of Phoenix from the PNC studios at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Show, brought to you by McDonald's, with Jeff Joniak and the Bears coaching staff, Monday nights at 6:30 on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. In front of our guests from the University of Phoenix, this is another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority from the PNC studio here at Halas Hall. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Our guest is one of the Bears defensive captains, Purnell McPhee. And before we took the break, we were talking about pass rushers and how challenging it is in this new NFL, because these offenses are smart. They don't put the quarterback in a position to get hit. And everything, the clock is faster now if you're a defensive end or if you're an outside linebacker in today's game. So what do you do? What's the perfect type of way? Like, if you could create the perfect pass rusher, who would it be?
Right now today?
Yeah. Because you study.
I would have to go with Von Miller. Just – he's a freak of nature. I mean, he's still coming off that knee injury, but just the way how he can move laterally and, you know, he just – that's a bad man. Like, and he's fast and quick.
But, you know, as Zach talks about the line of scrimmage, all right, now you're going into Kansas City. You're going to hear every command out of the quarterback's voice because the crowd's going to be quiet. What are you? Do you like to not hear the quarterback's cadence and just anticipate, or do you like to kind of learn a little bit something about him by hearing his voice? Because sometimes you're rushing right over the center guard, and you know, you're separated by only a short distance, and then you come from the outside. What do you like?
I don't know. I'm going to be telling all my secrets. You know we live on the radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing, Tom?
No, but it is. I mean,
I understand, but no, really. I have to – listen to the quarterback, and, you know, as the game go on, you might catch some. And,
well, I recently read an article about Aaron Rodgers, and he says that he learns a lot about the defense from listening to their calls, and then he'll go back and register the information on the sideline and maybe use it against them. And I think every quarterback falls into a tempo, falls into a cadence, and even, you know, as an offensive lineman, we'd go and ask our quarterback, can you change the cadence here? Can you do something different? Because you can see it in their eyes. They know how to anticipate it.
Yeah.
Well, here, I got good news for you, though. Vic Fangio knows Alex Smith, right? I mean, this guy has seen him every single day in practice early on when he was the defensive coordinator in San Francisco. So you probably have tips, they call them keys, that most teams don't have in regards to Alex Smith, I would think. You don't have to give him away, but he's smiling.
I ain't got nothing to say.
Yeah,
to
that. See that? You know, there was a – remember Tommy Harris? He used to play for the Bears.
Yeah.
He's a three-technique, very effective pass rusher early in his career. And he used to stay here at Hallis Hall really late at night, you know, after everyone left, and he would flip on the TV audio of the games and have the – it turned up really, really loud so you could listen to the cadence of the quarterback. And the fact that you're smiling, that means that used to do that in Baltimore too.
I mean, he doesn't have to, because teams all around the league have been taking and making the parabolic mic tape of the quarterback's cadence. Right. And you can hear what their live color is for the week. How are they making their audibles at the line of scrimmage by the type of wording they use, what are false, that means nothing, and you can hear the rhythm of a snap count. So, I mean, it's every team in the NFL that uses that technology against them.
Being a former lineman, Tom, do you feel, because now they have the center mic'd.
Right.
See, it's great for fans because they get to hear that, but for defensive players, I think they benefit the most from that.
From the center being mic'd?
Yeah. Because now you hear things that you probably didn't hear before, I would think.
Yeah, but, you know, you can hear them, but it's just filtered information through your head, and you still have to react and play the next play.
I think that's like a whole nother level. Like, everybody can't – I know certain guys who could just hear it and, like, okay, this is what's coming. You know, defensive guys. And you have some guys who just – they block it all out. I don't understand why, because it's information. Like me, I'm the type, if I hear it, I'm going to believe it until you show me something different.
Right.
And I'm going to go get it.
But, you know, when I watch Eddie Goldman and then I think back about William Perry, is their anticipation of the snap count and their snap count discipline, and Eddie's is really good for a rookie. Mm. He doesn't get into that herky-jerky style or get missed jumps. I mean, he's really disciplined. And, you know, that's a tough quality to learn, but I think if you come in having it, you only get better at it.
Yeah, yeah. I think Eddie is doing great right now. I think he do a lot of – I think he playing real good with his eyes and hands. That would make him, you know, do what he do right now. And I'm talking about he is playing good.
It's nice getting that push up the middle because they know that they're already scared of you coming from the outside.
Especially when it comes to run. I'm all about that run first. So
well,
big
third and two.
It up.
That third and two stopping the run this week was, you know, not the biggest play since you've been here, but, I mean, from where you were lined up and how you made the play, mm-hmm. It was a great play.
Yeah, I could say for me and my stats, since I've been here, that was like one of the biggest plays. Like, that was like awesome, because we had to stop them.
Right.
If we didn't, if as a defense, as a unit, everybody being in their gap and me blowing through the backfield, blowing up the backfield and making that play, we probably wouldn't be sitting right here talking about a win, you know, so.
Right, especially on third down. You know, you get a tackle for loss on first down. They got two other opportunities to come and get it back, but not there.
We had like what it was like 2:40 left.
Yep.
If they would have got that first, it would have went down to like 50 seconds. We kicked the field goal.
Oh, put you guys. It gave you an opportunity to
come
back.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the biggest part of it. And then you look ahead to this week against the Chiefs, Jamal Charles. Mm. Have you played against him a lot during?
I played
your
against him one time.
So, again, gap discipline is important because he can cut back and he's fast.
Yeah, you got to be real patient with that guy because he could hit the sideline. He could get to the edge. He could just take off like a cannon. Like, he's fast. You just got to be real patient with him and be disciplined. Like, we can't have nobody, you know, trying to make plays that ain't their plays. We all just got to stay in our gaps and play solid football.
I don't know if you're a fan of the NFL, but the way New Orleans won the game in overtime when they ran a wheel route for 80-yard completion, I think that's the one thing. With a quarterback who's not great, but he's got a fast running back, that's the thing that would scare me, is just those outside routes.
I totally agree. Me and my coach go about that every day. I totally agree.
See, great minds think alike. When we come back, and you don't answer it now, we're going to take the commercial. When we come back, I want to know if you knew the rule from that Monday Night Football game. We'll discuss next with Pernell McPhee in front of our friends here from the University of Phoenix. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Back inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall, another edition of Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority. In front of our audience, our guests from the University of Phoenix, here to watch Pernell McPhee and listen to what the Bears captain has to say. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer with you. It is time now to decide on the player of the week from last week's game, brought to you by Sports Authority. Tom, man, there's so many choices because you can go with Robbie Gould. You know, first he kicks the 54-yarder. And right. You can say, oh, kicker's not a football player. Hey, you're not celebrating a victory here if he doesn't knock down that 49-yarder. I mean, that, which was not easy, right? So he does that. Two big field goals for Robbie Gould. It was his 10th game-winning field goal at Soldier Field. You can go with the man sitting right next to you, Pernell McPhee, had a huge game. And you know the numbers. Eddie Goldman probably.
I'll go Cuddy. I think Jay Cutler coming back and announcing the bell after having a severe hamstring. And, you know, you saw it compute to his game. Where we used to see Jay run out of the pocket and get the first down, he stayed behind the line of scrimmage, had his head up, and downfield he had a lot of self-control and a lot of discipline. So this is where maybe an injury would benefit the entire team if he continues to practice, you know, that behind the line of scrimmage awareness.
We'll let the man decide.
I just had to throw my two cents.
No, that's okay. I mean, there were a lot of contributors. You don't just win because of one person. So who do you think deserves the Player of the Week award?
I think I had a good game. I think Robin did a tremendous job, but I got to go with Jay. He came through.
Yeah.
I mean, Robin did too, but you know,
it's your quarterback.
Yeah, that's my quarterback. That's my boy. I mean, I love you, Robin. So you know, but we got to go with. I got to go with Jay because I think that 4th and 5, like that was a heck of a throw and a heck of a catch by Marty. And
yeah, it was.
And I was like, wow, that's that Jay I love.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell it rejuvenated the team. You guys needed that. So we'll give it to Jay Cutler, the Sports Authority Player of the Week. And let's talk a little bit about the quarterback here because. The ability to come back and play essentially on one leg and come back a lot faster than most people thought and play effectively. I mean, you saw right away the confidence that he has at the line of scrimmage and the lift that it gave the team. How big was that behind? Because you get to watch him out on the practice field and you knew what he was going through to try and get himself back on the field.
That was big. I mean, I think that made the team, you know, come together at a point of a time when we say, oh, Jay playing, okay. And it made guys feel comfortable, you know, and was like, we got a chance. We got a chance to really go out here and do something.
And the reason I bring it up is because much has been made about what you did at the team hotel the night before the game, how you had the team lock arms.
Yeah.
What inspired you to do that?
Because, I don't know, just me being me, man. Like I said, I'm a very emotional person, and I believe, like, yo, going in this game against Oakland, against anybody else, like, we can't have no doubt. And you know, God talked to me. I was like, yo, if I ain't got no doubt, no matter who we play. Like, I'm going to go out there and dominate whoever I play. And, you know, I just wanted to tell the guys, like, yo, this is Oakland Raiders. I don't care what their record is or what they done did. They still Oakland Raiders. We are the Chicago Bears. It's time for us to act like we are the Chicago Bears. And you know, a lot of guys got it, and a lot of guys showed up.
You know, I think leading up to that Saturday night, because you had a report about Kyle Long, about him coming here early but seeing Jay's bag here already and him going through work. I think that inspires a team. Because if you have a guy that comes in at the last minute, tries to get his treatment, then run the meetings, you know the commitment isn't really there. Mm-hmm. But if you have a guy that's during the regular season, spending the amount of hours but being here extra time to get his body healthy, I think that is something that in a kind of a subtle way can be inspiring to a team.
It matters when your best players are setting the tempo.
Yeah, most definitely.
And that's something that, I mean, you were part of a championship club. You know what that's about. And I think that's the culture change that we're seeing at Hallis Hall, starting with the coaching staff on the way down to the real leaders of the team. And speaking of which, I think it's important to note because Antrell Roll, who is one of the biggest leaders inside that locker room, you know, goes down in that game. See, to me, the thing that was impressive about the win against the Raiders, there was a lot of adversity before the game, but during the game, you know, guys are banged up. You know, Will Montgomery, you lose him early on. Matt Slauson slides over. Patrick Omame plays, you know, and they didn't play those positions heading into that game. And then defensively, you know, you finish the game with two rookies at safety, and yet you still, even after the interception, you know, there are a lot of teams that, oh, here we go again. You know, it's not going our way. But you guys found a way to fight through all of that and pick up the win.
Yeah, I mean, we just stuck together. Like, we just locked arms and just stuck together. I mean, and playmakers came to make plays. And we lost one of our leaders, and hopefully he'll get back soon. So, you know, I just think the young guys came in and did a great job of, you know, learning all week in practice, you know, what to do, because you never know when you're going to get put in a situation. And I think Curly Jones, 29, I mean, he's a rook, but I think he came out and did a great job.
Harold Jones Corte.
Okay.
But you know what? I think, you know, the Bears have great fans. And I think the Bears fans appreciate when, if something doesn't go well and someone's inserted in the lineup, that you're not missing a beat, that the guys are prepared. And I think then it's a credit to the coaching staff. And that's what that's the direction they want to see the Bears organization going.
Yeah.
But like I said, if it's the next guy that you expect the same out of him that the guy that he's replacing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Everybody got to be held accountable for whatever, because you never know when you're going to get put in a situation. I mean, I might have to go to a fire technique. I need to know that. I need to know everything they do. So, you know, I think the rook did a great job of, you know, just studying and practice, taking it serious and paying attention to everything Antrell did, because it showed up in the game Sunday.
You got a good stance? Or you have a good three-point stance?
You know what's crazy?
I don't even know
if I could go in a three-point stance no more. The game done changed, man, I'm telling you.
I would like to get a picture of you if you had to get in your offensive tackle stance or if you had to get in on a third and nine stance.
Hey, two of you can demonstrate.
Once you get out of it, it's like me getting in a stance right now. I look like those old 60 pitchers where you're on your knuckles. But, you know, I don't know if I've seen Purnell in a stance yet.
Well, hopefully you don't have to.
You'll see one pretty soon.
All right.
Oh, how about that? A little sneak peek into what you may
see. Well, he'll
before.
Go out there and get in practice now and just try it out to see if he gets
started. I got a crazy get off with it. But, you know, it just – when you stand up – it kind of slow down the game, and you could see the formation and all type of things. That's like the gift of standing up. Like, you can't run certain plays on me, because when I'm standing up, I can see your whole formation, and just by watching film, I know what's coming. I know what block I'm about to get, you know. So
right.
That's the crazy part about it. That's why I really don't get a three-point stance no more.
And I love the fact that everything goes back to the time you spend studying for every game. In addition, because obviously you talked earlier about the courage that you need, the belief that you need to have, the physical talent, but ultimately, if you don't have that knowledge from studying, you can't put it together. So that's why after every game you always hear Purnell talking about how you got to come back on Monday and start working again.
Don't stop.
You know, I got to tell you, an interesting guy, and you probably had some good conversations with Jared Allen, who the Bears just traded, because I think he was really obsessed with watching and talking about football. And he had a lot of great football instincts. And, you know, did you get a chance to talk about the linebacker position, or were there other football subjects you were talking about?
Towards with Jared?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked a lot. We kind of, like, gave each other ideas of – how to play it, because, you know, it was his first time ever playing.
Right, right.
And standing up, and, you know, I was just trying to give him ideas of how to, you know, get off the ball standing up, because, you know, I had did it, and he gave me a lot of ideas of, you know, of studying the offensive tackle set in the game, you know, because we taught each other, you know, we was back and forth with it.
We got to take another time out. When we come back, That thing that happened Monday night after Megatron fumbled. Did you know about it? Because a lot of people around the NFL didn't. We'll discuss next. Purnell McPhee is here. So's Tom Thayer. Zach Zaidman with you. With our guest from the University of Phoenix, Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Game Day with the Chicago Bears Network, starting with Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare at 10:30 Sunday morning on Fox 32 Chicago. And after the game, Bears Game Night Live, brought to you by CDW at 10:35 p.m. after the final word on Fox 32 Chicago. Tom's on that show, so it's definitely must-see television. Zach Zaidman is here. So's Pernell McPhee, the Bears captain. You know, Monday night, there was this crazy event that happened in Seattle. I think at the time, they didn't even mention it during the game while it happened. It was only after the game that all of a sudden people realized, wait a minute, K.J. Wright, the linebacker for the Seahawks, tapped the ball out of bounds, which you can't do in the NFL. Did you know that?
No, I did not. I didn't know the rule.
The Lions didn't.
Either didn't, you know, a bunch of people yeah, watching and talking about the game.
Man, I don't like that rule. You know, the more I start thinking about it, because it rewards the team that fumbled.
It's a different game.
Well, I don't know.
I was ruined because KJ, that's my boy from Mississippi State. I was like, good job, KJ. I mean, so I did not know nothing about that rule at all.
You're not the only one. I think a lot of people around
the right. Well, they, I mean, they, look, I mean, we're having conversations 5 days later, and everybody's admitting that, you know, very, very few people knew the rule. So I am disappointed the officials don't know the rule, but, you know, that's what they're getting paid a lot of money for.
Yeah, because I was like, what if the ball go over the punter head and go in the end zone, and he kick it out of the back of the end zone, and it was like, oh, that's a penalty too. I was like, how that's a penalty? Like, it's a crazy rule.
It's a good thing you were not involved, but now I guarantee you everyone knows about the rule.
Yeah, I still don't know. I still don't know. I got to keep watching it. I didn't even see the play. My agent called me and was like, yo, did you see how they did? I mean, what KJ did? So I didn't even see the play.
I think players know rules that affect their specific position, their game, and what they need to accomplish. Not, you know, what a guy just hit a ball out the back of an end zone.
Yeah, that, and it's so rare that something like that happens too. So
yeah, we got some crazy rules, like the penalty they called on
Eddie Royal.
Like, come on, man.
Tom lost his mind up in the booth.
Well, it was just a ridiculous call.
Like, what kind of rule is that? Like,
yeah, for people who don't know, I guess you have to literally hand the ball to the official. You can't just toss it.
But, I mean, he gently tossed it out of his hands. It's, you know, Sally sensitive.
I mean, especially at that point in the game. No joke, because that was a critical point in the game. I mean, and anyone who knows Eddie Royal, he's as classy as they come. He's not trying to show up the official. And especially during it's time and situation too. You know, this is a critical point in the game for the Bears.
Because what Steve Smith do is way worse. But that's my boy, that's my boy. But what he do, he get the ball and just spin it and it go everywhere. I'll be like, Steve, crazy.
But he's a good player, though. Eddie Royal, his voice sounds like Dave Chappelle. Have you ever talked to him enough? I was doing a luncheon with him, and that's what his voice reminded me of, if anybody remembers him from the show.
I got to pay attention to that.
Listen to it. Yeah, it sounds just like him.
I did not know you have this skill of sizing up the way people. I always wondered. I was asking somebody. Someone told me that Jarvis Jenkins does a very good John Fox imitation.
I never saw it.
And I'm like, I can't imagine that being the case.
Yeah, I don't know. The only thing is the tight end, Kari Lee.
Yeah,
you're doing the impression of his head coach in Hard Knocks. Have you ever been on Hard Knocks?
Oh, I don't want to go.
Yeah, me neither. I don't want you to go there either.
Why? What would you not like about it?
Just the I guess the NFL Network just being there every day. Like, I think it's stressful. I think camp should be about us. Like becoming family, like
bonding.
You know, bonding. Yeah, I don't think it should be like NFL media, whatever. All in our business, all in our training camp. Like, no, man, get out of here, man. I want to be private as get. I mean, fans, of course, but them, no.
Yeah, that's the point in the development of a team, because every year a team's different, and that's the point where the team really gets to come together.
Yeah,
you know, this year I think the last practice was probably the most physical last practice of a training camp that I've seen in a long time. And I liked it because I thought you're having chippiness at that point. It's only ultimately going to make you a better team. You're going to be more physical, and it's going to make you a closer team. How did you feel the rhythm of these practices you went through in training camp as opposed to your last experiences?
I think it was similar, you know. It was guys fighting. I mean, it was a lot more fighting in Baltimore, but, you know, guys was fighting. Violent. But, you know, it showed a sign where, you know, we got a little brotherhood here, because if you don't fight your brother, y'all really ain't brothers. And, you know, when guys actually started fighting, I was like, okay, there we go.
Right.
There we go. Right. I mean, I really ain't that type of fighting guy, but, you know, I'm ready to throw down whenever. But I seen a lot of guys start, you know, fight next day, they send that lunch together, and I was like, okay, this is what it's about, you know. Because when you do that with guys, you gain respect. Okay, I know this guy got heart, because we just sat here and went blow for blow, and we forgave each other as a man, and we, you know, came out the next day and competed as, you know, professional athletes. And, you know, it was exciting.
Man, if you love football, you got to love what you're hearing from Pernell McPhee here. Let's take a time out, come back. Our final segment next on Bears All Access in front of our guests from the University of Phoenix from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority, in front of our guests from the University of Phoenix here at the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. We've got Tom Thayer, Zach Zaidman, Pernell McPhee, the Bears captain, as the Bears get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Have you had an opportunity since you signed with the Bears to kind of get used to Chicago a little bit, go out, see some restaurants, meet with the people, or do you just kind of put the blinders on and it's all football all the time right now for you?
Yeah, right now it's like all football. And I really didn't get the chance in OTAs and minicamp because I was back and forth. But right now it's like all football, and that's just me, like, locked in.
Because I want to know who has the guts to kind of say hello to you, ask for an autograph, take a selfie when they listen to you talk, and, you know, you're talking about getting ready to throw down. And I know that's not the case when you're off the field, but you're intimidating.
I'm a good person. I think my grandma raised me right. I'm a good
person. He does. He's got good manners, and he smiles. And yeah. But there's that, like, you had it, Tom, too. There's, once you hit the field, there's that switch that you have to flip.
Yeah, but, you know, that's on Sundays and game day and the game check associated, all that. What about, you know, you play a natural grass field at home, and I see Kansas City, after having a bad grass field for years, they go to a sports turf. You have a preference? Do you feel faster on any one of the surfaces? Because I would play with guys that go, wow, I feel great on AstroTurf or, you know, whatever.
From your body standpoint, turf not good
right
at all. But the playing, I would love to play on it. Like, I thought they still had grass, but I did not know they had turf, so I can't wait.
It's weird because of that transition. So many of the stadiums have it, but, you know, some guys are still traditional and like the natural grass field, and, you know, that would influence me where I would sign if I would rather have a home stadium of natural grass.
Yes, I totally agree. Because when I found out Seattle had turf, I said, bro, I cannot wait to get to Seattle. Like, because it's like you get out faster, you move quicker. You know,
what does it feel like? What's the difference for people who have not obviously played on these two surfaces?
It's the feeling underneath your shoes.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when you're playing grass, it kind of dig deep in the grass and the dirt. So your get off might be slow, your reaction might be slower. But when you're on the turf, like, you really don't dig into nothing because it's like.
It's like a track.
Yeah,
almost.
Like a track. So, like, you way faster.
Poor quarterbacks.
Right, but, you know, I mean, you kind of learn the field that you are in. You know, you learn the Chicago field, and then, you know, there's a great consistency between the sports turf, and it's better to probably go to Kansas City and have a consistency of a good field than the inconsistencies they've had over the time with natural grass.
That's true, I think. But if you're the more athletic team, the faster team, it shouldn't matter, right? You would still find a way, I think, to take advantage of your home field.
Yeah. Right? I just asking personal preference.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so before we say goodbye here, if you had an opportunity to talk to your team again, I know every week someone new gives the speech before the game. What would be your message to this defense heading into that game in Kansas City?
To the defense?
Yeah, or the team in general. We can go big.
I mean, just lock them arms, baby, and believe in each other and just go in without no doubt, we gonna win. And I think that's a big difference between a lot of teams in the NFL. Guys really believe. I mean, it ain't such as a talent level in the NFL. Everybody could, but you have some guys who believe, like, yo, we finna go kick these boys' butt. And you have guys that be like, well, they got Jamal Charles, and, you know, and they be, like, kind of scared. But, you know, I would tell them, hey, I'm pulling the rope. Just pull with me, and we'll come out on top.
I like that.
Is the defense a finished product, or do you insert something every week for the team you're playing? And, you know, how has that information been absorbed by this whole group of guys? Because, you know, when you're learning, everybody's learning a new system, especially here in Chicago, when they completely change styles.
Yeah.
Is it still a work in progress?
Yeah, especially with Vic. I think nobody will never get this defense. He's the only one who could get it because he changed. So it's all about studying and standing in that film room and standing in that playbook because he changed stuff every day.
As we see, they keep getting better.
Yeah,
and better
it's
and
crazy.
Better.
It's really crazy, like how he changed it and it really worked.
Purnell, thank you for joining us. Good luck on Sunday. Tom, Zach saying goodbye. Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sportority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.